Thank you, Jesus. Tonight, we are going to continue the series that we've been doing the last three Friday nights called How to Get Your Healing. Tonight, we're on part 4 of 5 called The Prayer of Faith. So let me review a little bit about what we have gone over now over the last three previous weeks. The first week, we talked about, is God willing to heal you, or does God want you healed? And so we talked about that and looked at the scripture and came to the conclusion that yes, it is God's will for your healing. Then on week two, we kind of approached it from a little bit different standpoint, that your salvation includes healing. In other words, it is part of your salvation package, that when Jesus died on the cross for you, he bought your salvation for you to be able to go to heaven. But there was so much more included in that, of which healing is part of that. Healing and protection and preservation, everything to make us whole and complete. Then last week, we looked at some more scriptures on healing that had to do with healing belongs to you. That God's names show his direction towards your life. Jehovah Jireh, that he is your provider. The Lord is your provider. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord is your banner. And we looked at several different names of God, including Jehovah Rapha, that he is the God that healeth thee. He is the Lord our healer. And we saw that when God proclaims something, when God said it, that settles it, and it is true. And we looked at different scriptures about what God had to say about healing. So those 3 weeks were laying a foundation for this series of how to get your healing. To see what God's word says, to know that healing belongs to you, and that it is God's will for you to be healed. And so this week and next week, we're going to be talking more about some of the practical things. Okay, I know what God's word says. I believe what God's word says. Now what do I do? And so that's what we're going to start talking about tonight. And the first subject we want to take up is faith. Tonight, specifically, the prayer of faith. You know, this is a significant night in my life, you could say that, because today, and for those of you who may be listening to this later, today, which is September 18th, 2015, this marks 10 years from the time in 2005 when I started having some challenges with my heart. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that later, but this is kind of significant for me because here I am 10 years later, healthy, healed, and whole. Never talked to a doctor, never set foot in a doctor's office through the whole process. And God is my healer. I stand on his word. And today I am healthy, healed, and whole. Now, it wasn't a quick, instant process. It took 10 months from the time I first started having symptoms until I saw the complete manifestation in my life. So I learned a lot during that time, and a lot of it had to do with this prayer of faith, of learning how to stand on God's word in faith, and so we want to talk about that tonight. The overview, all things, whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive, and that's from Matthew 21:22. And that is the essence of the prayer of faith. You ask believing and you receive. So let's talk a little bit, first of all, about what is faith. From Hebrews 11:1, a verse that many of us are familiar with. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is the substance. In other words, it's something that you can feel. It's something that is solid. Now, most of us would not think of faith in that way, but that really is in reality what faith is like. The Amplified says it this way. Now, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we had hoped for. So what a title deed is a piece of paper that you have that tells you that the thing that you're talking about, you own it. It is yours. It's a substantive piece of paper that tells what is reality. And faith is exactly like that. When you are standing on the Word of God and you have faith, you know it. You know that you know that you know. It's something that you feel. It's something that you know. It is so real to you. That thing that you're believing for is so real to you that to have anything less makes no sense. It is so real. And when I came to that point in my life, when I knew that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, there was no way of dissuading me in any way that I wasn't. I was still feeling the symptoms. I was still having the challenges against my body. But I knew that I knew that I knew that I was healed. Faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed that the things we hope for, being the proof of things that we do not see and the conviction of their reality. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. It's a very powerful way of putting that in the Amplified. But faith is that confidence. You know, God said it, that settles it. And you know that you know that you know. In Hebrews 6:12, there contains there the scripture that what we call the power twins. But be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. One of the things that the Lord showed me as I was going through my challenge, as I was even dealing with this passage right here in Hebrews 6, starting in verse 12, I began to realize that while faith was an essential element, patience added a lot. Patience became another necessary element because you stand on the Word of God and you stand on the Word of God and you stand on the Word of God and you keep standing on the Word of God. There is a patience involved. And part of the process as I was going through this and reading Hebrews 11, reading this passage in Hebrews 6, is that I read through Hebrews chapter 11, which is called the Hall of Faith. Many people call it the faith chapter. It talks about the faith of the men of God. But you know what I begin to see and what the Lord showed me? It's more than just a faith chapter. It's also a chapter on patience. Because each one of them had to have faith over a long period of time. Noah, 120 years. Now that's what I call patience. Has anybody been standing on something for 120 years yet? Okay, well, just be patient. That's called patience. The Amplified Bible in that particular passage has a great definition of faith. And so I want to read that in the Amplified. In order that you may not grow disinterested and become spiritual sluggards, but imitators, behaving as those who through faith, now here's the definition, by their leaning of the entire personality on God, in Christ, in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness, and by practice of patient endurance and waiting are now inheriting the promises. I like that. The leaning of their entire personality on God in Christ in absolute trust and confidence. And one of the things that I began to realize as I was going through the challenge that I went through was that faith was telling me that there is no plan B. It's not like I'm going to try this, and if it doesn't work, then there's always this option. Faith has no plan B. Faith has only faith, has only plan A, which is to stand on the Word of God. Number three on your paper there. Faith is believing God and His Word, trusting in His promises, and acting on them. From Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. One way of looking at this is through the scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, 7. Walk by faith, not by sight. So we're not leaning on what we see. We're not leaning on what we feel. We're leaning by faith on what God has said, that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. There's one illustration, a testimony that I like that really, to me, cements the difference between faith and just hoping, a wishing and a hoping. There was a young man, this was many years ago, this young man was at a youth camp. And in the process of being at that youth camp that week, he was playing baseball. And he was sliding into third base. And when his foot hit the bag, it broke his ankle to the point where the bone was actually coming through the skin. It was a bad break. And because this was many, many years ago, nobody could whip out their cell phone and call 911. It took some time for them from the camp to get somebody there. In the meantime, there was, and this was a Christian youth camp, in the meantime, there was this old Pentecostal preacher there. And he went up to this boy. He's laying there in the dirt. And he's saying, you know, in tremendous pain, he's saying, you know what? God is your healer. And He can heal you. And he began to preach to him about what the Bible said about healing. That Jesus died for him. He had been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so he preached to him for about 20 minutes. Built up the young man's faith. He says, are you ready to stand up and trust God? And he said, yeah, let's do it. So he helped him get up. So he's standing there on his good leg and says, okay, let's do it. And so he starts to put pressure on his bad leg, on the leg that had been broken. And immediately pain just shot up through his leg and he just passed out from the pain. True story. So the Pentecostal preacher revived him, you know, got him back to consciousness, and he began to preach to him again. For another 20 minutes, he preached to him about faith and about healing. And so that built up the young man's faith again. He says, you ready to try again? He says, yeah, let's do it. So he gets up on his good leg again, and he's sitting there and says, okay, you ready? Here we go. And he goes to put down his bad leg, and again, the pain just shot right through there. And again, he just passed out from the pain. So preacher said, okay. So he revives him again. He starts preaching to him. But then he stops for a moment. He prays. He says, God, what are we doing wrong? I'm missing something here. And the Lord gave him what he was missing. So he preached to the boy another 20 minutes, built up his faith. He says, okay, young man, this time I don't want you getting up on your good leg. He says, this time get up on your bad leg. In other words, if you believe you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus, then put the full weight of your being on that. And so, sure enough, as soon as he put his bad leg to put pressure on it to get up, it was immediately healed. True story. True story. The man who related that story knew that young man and heard it direct from his mouth. So that is, to me, a good understanding of faith. It is trusting God, putting the full weight of your being on Him because of what His Word has said to us. So, that being said, then what is the prayer of faith? First of all, it is a prayer based on that kind of faith, the prayer of faith, prayer based on that kind of faith. Let's talk a little bit about what that looks like. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So that's a good foundation. That comes from Hebrews 11, verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for everyone that comes to Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. So it's important that we understand that in order to please God, we have to have faith. And God rewards those who are diligently seeking Him, seeking to do things His way, which will include faith and understanding God's Word and relying on it. Another thing to understand is that we receive everything from God through faith. By grace are you saved through faith. So we receive everything from God through faith. So how do we enact that? Let's turn in our Bibles to James. James chapter 5. And I want us to look at these scriptures here. First of all, verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. The effectual, fervent prayer. What are we talking about there? When we talk about effectual, effectual is the end result of something that's been effective. In other words, you look back on what has transpired and you can know whether it's effectual or not by whether it came to pass. So, to have an effectual fervent prayer, it means that it has been effective, that something has been done to make that prayer effective. Well, what is it that makes prayer effective? Well, first of all, it's understanding. What is it that we're praying for? In other words, knowledge. What is it in God's Word that we're praying for? So we have to know what it is we're standing on, what it is we're putting our faith in. And then secondly, we need to understand the execution of that faith. In other words, the execution of the prayer, so that we know exactly what it is that we're looking for and how to actually do it, how to put it into effect. And once we understand what it is we're doing, and once we know how to do it, that's what makes it effective. So here, Elijah was an effectual, fervent prayer. He put into effect, he had the knowledge of what God had said to him, and he knew how to pray, and the result was an effective, effectual prayer. So I want us to look at this whole passage here, starting in verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. The answer to the question that he is looking for here, is anyone sick among you, should be no, because part of your salvation package is healing, and we should all be walking in healing and health. But he's saying, is anyone sick? If anyone happens to be in that condition, this is the remedy. Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, this is a starting point for a young Christian who doesn't know that much about healing, to go to the elders to be prayed for. Now, there are other ways, such as prayer of agreement, praying in faith, which we're going to talk about in a few minutes yourself, prayer of authority. There are various different ways, but as we go on here, what I want to point out is that while this is the one for new Christians, the prayer of faith is the basis of all of these types of prayers, because understanding the prayer of faith will be a foundation for all the rest of these prayers as well. Let's go on to verse 15. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith will save the sick. The Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they will be forgiven him. Verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Verse 17. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not in the earth for a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. So the prayer of faith should be an effectual, fervent prayer. And the person praying that prayer of faith will get the results of their prayer. So, the prayer of faith is asking God for something based on one of his promises and trusting him so that you believe that it has been accomplished when you pray. So, praying the prayer of faith is taking one of God's promises, and in this case we're talking about healing, taking his promise for healing, believing it, praying it, and standing in faith for it, that it will be accomplished, believing that it will be accomplished because we have prayed. In 1 John 5:15, the prayer of faith is also known as petition prayer. As he says there in 1 John chapter 5, and if you know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. Now, the prayer of faith is primarily a prayer that is prayed for yourself, for something that is pertaining to you. So that's the primary context in which we're going to be talking about the prayer of faith tonight, is how it affects you, because you're praying it for you. There are other prayers that we can pray that will affect others, but when we're talking about the prayer of faith, we're specifically talking about something that has to do with you and affects you. So let's start by looking at some of the conditions for successfully praying the prayer of faith. The foundation scripture for the prayer of faith is Mark 11:24. Very good. Mark 11:24, which states, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. This is the prayer of faith. Now, I want us to look for a moment at the context of it in Mark chapter 11. We'll get into the details of it in just a moment. Mark chapter 11, starting in verse 22. And Jesus answered, saying unto them, have faith in God. In some translations, it's have the God kind of faith. Have faith in God. So he's saying, believe what God has said. Put the full weight of your being on God. For verily, I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. So what we're saying here is that he's saying have faith in God. And then Jesus is saying, if there's a mountain in your way, you can speak to that mountain. Let's say the mountain of sickness. You can speak to that mountain of sickness and you can tell it to be removed. Then it goes on to say, and shall not doubt in his heart. And that's where the faith comes in. We're believing what God has said from our heart, and therefore there is no doubt in our heart. The circumstances all around may be telling us otherwise, but we're believing what God has said. We're believing it in our heart. We're not doubting in our heart. Now, the evil one can many times bring all kinds of doubt to your mind. You know, when I was going through my challenge, one of the first things that the devil started saying to me when I started feeling these symptoms in my body was, you'll be dead by the end of the day. You'll not make it through the day. And they're going to find you in a corner somewhere, dead. You know, all these things he started bringing. I just kept dismissing them. See, it wasn't what's in my mind. It's not what the evil one was trying to bring to my mind. It's what did I believe in my heart. Still in verse 23, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. So because we have said to the mountain, be thou removed, we are believing it. And we are saying what we believe, and we're believing what we say. In the Greek, this particular phrase actually is talking more than just about this one different single incident. It's referring to our lifestyle, our way of doing things, that in our life, we are believing the things that we say. And so that is important. We need to have a lifestyle of faith and believing in the things that we say. Because we know, going on in verse 23, that we shall have whatsoever we say. Now look at verse 24. Notice that it starts with the word therefore. What he's saying there is, based on what I have just said, here is the principle. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. So what we want to look at here right now is, what is the them, and what are the conditions to get to them? The them are the things that we desire. But what are the conditions to receive them? And it says right there in the scripture, right there in this verse, what are the conditions? First of all, it says you must desire them. Have a burning desire. That's what the word there means. Not just a hope in you, it would be really nice if this happened, but a desire. Because a fervent, hot desire to have something come to pass will give us some power, some motivation to stick with our faith, to stick with our belief that we have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So if there's a challenge in your body and you're looking at your body and you're saying, you know what? I desire this to be taken care of. Jesus died that I would be healed. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Why am I putting up with this pain? Why am I putting up with this chronic challenge? No, I desire to be set free. I desire to be healed. Number two, you must pray for them. And we'll talk a little bit more about that process in a minute. You must pray for them. In other words, you must put verbal words to what you are believing, like we just read in verse 23. And then thirdly, you must believe that you receive them at the time that you pray. Now, this one is the most important condition. Believe that you receive them at the time you pray. In other words, I've prayed, I've said amen, and at that point in time, God has given me my requests. You believe what you receive the time that you pray. It doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. You believe that you have received. So let's look now at the steps in praying the prayer of faith. Of course, the first one, as with everything that you do when you approach a holy God, is to confess your sins. So basically what we're saying here is that you have a desire. You have a challenge you want resolved in your life, and you're ready to pray the prayer of faith. So you have a desire. And so now, what is the process of praying the prayer of faith? First of all, you pray to your Father in heaven, according to Jesus' instructions about prayer. And you pray in the name of Jesus. Again, Jesus' instructions on prayer from John 14, 13 and 14. Number three, you pray aloud. Notice that when Jesus was giving the instruction in verse 23, he said, therefore, say to the mountain. He didn't say, think about it in your mind, right? He said, say to the mountain. See, the mountain needs to hear it. The mountain needs to hear it. The challenge in our life needs to hear it. The evil one needs to hear it. We need to hear it because it builds faith in us. So we say, we need to say aloud. So when you're praying the prayer of faith, it's not just something quiet you do inside of you. You need to speak it out loud. You need to say it. And we'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Number four, ask once. Because you believe that what you prayed came to pass when you prayed it, then to ask again shows that you don't really believe that you received when you prayed. So you pray once. Number five, believe that you receive when you ask. That at that point in time, it is done. It has been completed. God has answered it. You have the requests that you have made. Believe that you receive. Number six, keep thanking God with affirmations until there is a manifestation. So, because we believe, what's our response? Thank you, Father. Thank you that you have given me my request. Thank you that this challenge is over. Thank you that I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So we thank God and we can keep thanking him. And then number seven, once you receive the manifestation, tell somebody. Tell them what God has done for you. The word of our mouth, our testimony, is a powerful tool in our arsenal. So let me tell you a little bit about my challenge and what God taught me as we've been going now talking about the prayer of faith. I woke up on September 15th of 2005, and I just didn't feel right. Something was wrong in my body. I went ahead, I went to work, but it didn't get any better. Matter of fact, it started getting worse. I was getting a lot of pain and discomfort in my chest. And I began to suspect, and of course, the evil one had already been talking at me, like I mentioned earlier. So I chose to call Pastor Joshua and tell him what was going on, to ask him to pray for me. And so we talked about it, and the determination was made that I wanted to stand on the Word of God for my healing. I had already been taking the healing classes that we had offered here at that time, the healing seminar. I had already been through it twice and was actually in the third cycle of going through it. And so it wasn't like I was new to healing. I had seen several things in my life healed as I stood on the Word of God. And so I wasn't new to it. And so he asked me what I wanted to do, and I said, I want to stand on the Word of God. And so he gave me some assignments to do some affirmations, proclaiming the Word of God over myself, and to study the Scriptures. Because in that healing seminar, and those of you who have been to healing school know that there are 16 or 17 pages of healing Scriptures. And so I went home that afternoon, and I started going over those healing Scriptures, particularly the ones that we've talked about on these CDs and in this series, which is Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5, Matthew 8, 16 and 17, and 1 Peter 2, 24. So I started just poring over those scriptures and going over them and going over them. And I knew that I wanted to stand on the Word of God. And so I was diligent. I did my affirmations. Matter of fact, I even did more affirmations than what he gave me to do, because I was earnest and going to be diligent about standing in faith on the Word of God. I made some decisions based on what I knew from the Scriptures to help me in my faith stand. First of all, I determined I was not going to miss any work. I was not going to hold back on anything that I had been scheduled to do. And so during that time, those 10 months, I went to work every single day. I went to every Bible study and every service that I would normally go to. There were some projects that I wanted to have done around the house. I did all that, pulled up 1,000 square feet of carpet and laid down 1,000 square feet of nailed down hardwood floor. It wasn't just this, like this stuff here, you just put it together. This was nailed down. So I was swinging a hammer, and it wasn't one of those hydraulic ones either. I mean, I was swinging a hammer and nailing down that floor. I had trips planned. Now, the evil one kept saying, every time I'd start talking about this trip I had planned, the evil one kept saying, you're never going to get there. Why are you even bothering? It's 3 months away. You'll be dead long before then. I mean, the evil one just kept on me about that. But nope, I wouldn't listen to him. I made 3 trips that year to Chicago, to Florida, and to Hawaii. Carried all the luggage, did everything. I did not hold back, because I knew that if I were to pull back, that I would be giving in. I had been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I was standing on the Word of God, and that was it. One kind of funny incident, because one of the things I kept in my body, I kept feeling, especially at night, was I'd feel my heart flip-flopping and doing all kinds of weird stuff. So I kind of got in this habit. I kept checking my pulse. But the reason I was checking my pulse was to see if I was healed yet. Not a good thing. And so I kept checking my pulse, and I kept checking my pulse. And the Lord, one day he said, what are you doing? He said, I thought you said you believe you were healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I said, oh. I said, that's right. A healed person doesn't go around checking their pulse every 10 minutes to see if it's still going. And so I made faith stands like that. I stopped checking my pulse. I stopped checking to see if I was okay. Nighttime was one of the hardest times, because you settle down, you get quiet. I could feel things going on. And there was at one point where I was having trouble breathing, and so I had pillows piled up. And one day I was doing that, and I was, what am I doing? I said, do I believe Jesus has healed me? I said, yes. I said, okay, God, you're my healer. I'm giving it to you. I'll see you in the morning. I took the pillows off my bed. I mean, all those ones piled up, just have my regular pillow. And I said, Jesus, I'll see you in the morning. I turned over and I went to sleep. Didn't care what I felt. I went to sleep, because God is my healer. Amen. Remember one morning I got up. This actually wasn't too long after I had started having symptoms and was going through this process. I woke up one morning and I was really feeling bad. Just a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort. I got ready for work. And then I came in and I sat there on the edge of the bed and said, I'm scared to go to work. I don't know if I'm going to make it. So I called Pastor Joshua, and it was like 5:30 in the morning. And I told him what was going on, and he gave me some assignments. But one of the things he said was, if you want to, if you think you should, go ahead and go to the hospital. You know, if that's what you need to do, go ahead and do that. We'll support you. But I really didn't want to do that. So he suggested I just do affirmation. I said, okay, I'm going to go. Got my car, started driving. Well, the route that I took, I would go right past a hospital. And there was a traffic light right at that hospital. So here it is. It's like 5:30 in the morning. I pull up and it turns red, right? So I'm stopped there right in front of the hospital. And right there to my right is this big sign blinking, you know, emergency room, emergency room, emergency room. And so the evil one starts talking to me again, you know, and says, you know, all you need to do is just put on your blinker and just turn right, right into that driveway. Just drive right up there and they'll take care of you. I said, no, I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. So the light turned green and I kept going. I was doing affirmations, but while I was doing those affirmations, it got worse. The pain, the discomfort, it got to the point where I actually thought I better pull over because I didn't know where this was going. I'd been driving for, I don't know, 15 or 20 minutes. I was on the freeway. And I remembered a scripture in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, whosoever calls out to the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I thought, that's what I need. And so I called out and I said, Jesus, help me. I need your help. And just like somebody turned down a thermostat, it just went, zzz. The pain went down. The discomfort went down. It's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So as I continued to walk by faith over the months, I remember at that time I had gotten to the point where I was doing like 1,000 affirmations a day. And so one day I was doing those affirmations. I was just doing the affirmations. This was like, I don't know, 8 months or so after the challenge started. And all of a sudden I heard the Lord say, that's enough of the affirmations. And I said, what? I mean, I said out loud, what? And he says, that's enough of the affirmations. It's done. And I thought, wow, that's really weird. Is this the Lord or is this me or the evil one? So anyway, I called Pastor Joshua and I told him about what had happened. And he said, you know, the same thing had happened to him in one of the challenges he's going through. The Lord just said, that's it. It's done. Now, I still had another couple of months before I realized that all the symptoms were gone and that I had the full manifestation of my healing. But at that point, it was done. And one of the reasons why I knew that it was done was because of what I was mentioning earlier about Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. I continue to read that whole passage from 12 down through 18. And it's talking about Abraham and him trusting God for his promise. Because remember, it said that through faith and patience, you inherit the promises. So it was using the illustration of Abraham. And at the end there of that passage, it says that by these two unchangeable, immutable things, and he's talking there about God's oath and about God's promise. Said, by these two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. I saw that and I thought, that's it. It is impossible for God to lie. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's what he says in his word. It's impossible for him to lie. And faith just rose up in me. And I thought, that's it. I can take it to the bank. It is done. I have been healed. And now it's just a matter of patience, a matter of time. I believed that I received when I prayed. And the promise is, and you shall have them. And you shall have them. It doesn't say when, doesn't say you shall have them in 2 weeks or 10 days or even 5 years. Abraham had to wait 25 years. Noah, 120 years. But he shall have them. And so I knew it was now just a matter of time. And sure enough, within a couple of months after that period, I realized one day, it's like, wow. And had any symptoms. Wow. And, well, basically that's it. Every once in a while, something tries to poke its head up, and I just slap it down. No, in the name of Jesus, I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So let's look at letter E now, the process of faith. Remember that if you believe that you received them, notice the present tense, believe now at the time of prayer, then you shall have them in the future. That means that if you believe that you receive them spiritually when you pray, then at some time in the future, they will manifest in the natural, where you can see them. In other words, if you accept your faith in the title deed, remember we talked about the title deed, the assurance, by faith you know I have it. So if you accept your faith as the title deed to the manifestation of the answered prayer, then you will see that answer in the future. In fact, if you believe that you did receive when you pray, then you should create a faith action plan. And that's basically what I did. I just said, how would a healed person act? And I knew that a healed person wouldn't be staying at home in bed because they were a little challenged. A healed person would continue on their schedule. A healed person would, you know, if it's a leg or a knee that's challenged, a healed person continues to walk. Now, I have had this happen a couple of times. I was walking. One time I was just walking through a warehouse where I worked. Another time I was walking just out on a walk. And all of a sudden, the whole right side of my body just went numb and got weak. Now, I could have said, oh my God, and you know, sat down on the ground or called out to somebody, help me. But what did I do? I said, no, I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And I just kept walking. I wasn't going to let it stop me. See, I believe that was my faith action plan. I just kept walking. And so a faith action plan should be something that just comes out of your being, comes out of your understanding, because you know that you've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. It's the word you say, and it's the actions that you take. So the faith action plan, letter F, consists of one or more steps of actions, words, or both that reflect your change in behavior as a result of believing that you have already received the answer to your prayers. In other words, as best as you can, start living right now as if you can already see the manifestation of your prayer. It's even stronger than that. It's not just as if you can see the manifestation. In your mind, faith says, I have it already. You already, with your eye of faith, see the manifestation. And so now it's a matter of just walking it out. Now there's a note here. However, at this point, please do not throw away your medicines. If you are being treated by a doctor, then you must be obedient to his authority. Wait until he tells you that the medicine is no longer required. A couple of testimonies. One, a negative testimony. One, a positive testimony. There was one young man who heard this message of healing and faith, and he happened to be on dialysis at the time. And he says, I believe I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And so he stopped going to dialysis. But he had a lot of other things going on in his life. Anyway, it wasn't too long before he ended up dying. So if you're under the care of a doctor, at this point, it's more important to remain under the authority that you're under and be obedient to that authority, because all authority comes from God. You've placed yourself under that person's authority. So stay under authority until they tell you that you no longer need it. There was a woman who was being challenged with diabetes, and pastor prayed for her, but encouraged her to keep taking her insulin. And then one day, not too much later, a week or two, she did her normal routine. She took her insulin as she normally would, but she felt really bad. It's just like, wow, what happened? I mean, so bad that she said, I better get to the hospital. So she got to the hospital. She went in and said, you know, I just feel so terrible. I don't know what's going on. And so they began to do tests on her. And what had happened was she had been healed and she no longer needed the insulin. So now she was having a reaction to the insulin. So as she was obedient, then she was healed. And then the doctor then took her off the insulin because she no longer needed it. There was another woman who was taking Coumadin for a heart challenge. And That's one of those medicines they say that you can't get off of. And so she prayed. She believed that God had healed her, and she would continue to go to her doctor for the regular checkups. And as he was checking her, he said, you know, we need to run some more tests here. Something's not the same. So they began to run more tests. They had her do some things that she, quote, shouldn't have been able to do. And the conclusion was, you know what? Your heart is fine. And they took her off the Coumadin. So she remained under the authority. God healed her, and the authority told her that she could stop taking that medication. So if that's where you're at, then that's where you should be. Stay under the authority. One of the most important things about implementing the prayer of faith in your life is to make sure that you are not doing things that cancel your prayer. And there are basically two ways of canceling your prayer, with your words and with your actions. Words that you're saying that are going against what you're believing, or actions that you are taking that go against what you're believing. With me, because I did not go to a doctor for this challenge with my heart, I was not under any obligation to take any kind of medication or whatever. I hardly let anybody know, but there were a couple of people that knew what I was going through at the time. I didn't talk about it very much. I just lived it out. But a couple of those people thought that they might have some helpful things for me, right? So they suggested that I take this particular supplement or read this particular book and do some things like that. But what the Lord showed me was, at that point in my life where I was at, I needed to be totally dependent on Him and learn how to put the full weight of my being on Him. But I did. I asked Him. I said, is there anything that you want me to do? Should I be taking any supplements? Should I be doing something like that? And basically the answer was no. He said, except for one thing. He said, the only thing that I want you to do is to spend at least 10 minutes every day doing some kind of aerobic exercise. So I thought, that'll be easy. Because I had read not too long before that about Smith Wigglesworth and how every morning his routine was to get up, take a cold shower, and dance for 15 minutes before the Lord. I thought, I can do that. And so part of my quiet time with the Lord routine was to dance before the Lord for at least 10 minutes every morning. So that was the only thing in the natural, I guess you might say, that the Lord had me do. So you've got to be careful with your actions and with your words. See, I could have gone to the extreme of, well, let's see, what supplements are out there? Well, they say that this is good for your heart, and this is good for your heart, and that's good for your heart. So you start taking all this stuff, but where's your dependence? Are you depending on God, or are you depending on all those things? Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't take supplements. Supplements can be a good thing to take, but you got to take them in faith. Don't be taking them out of fear, and don't take them in contradiction to your stand of faith. So don't contradict your prayers with your words. After praying for the removal of pain, don't take pain medication unless it's been ordered by a doctor. After praying that tickets will be available for a concert hall, don't say, well, if there's no tickets for us, then we can have dinner at the new restaurant. You've just canceled your prayer. In other words, you now have a plan B. And so that will cancel your prayer. Or C, after praying for healing from flu symptoms, don't say, well, this type of flu always takes 3 weeks to leave, and expect to have those symptoms for 3 weeks. And don't contradict your prayers with your actions. Oh, another way of contradicting your prayer with your words is to pray the prayer of faith again. Right? We've already talked about that. Number two, don't contradict your prayers with your actions. After praying that there will be no rain today, don't pick up your umbrella on the way out, just in case. B, after praying that the pain has left your legs, don't remain sitting because of the fear that the pain increases when you move. It's kind of like that illustration I did of the young man playing baseball. You know, he kept getting up on his good leg and just trying, hoping and praying that it'll work. No, you get up on your, where the challenge is. You push against the challenge. One of the incidents that happened one time, I was spending a lot of time in the Word. Matter of fact, one, just kind of a side thing, one of the things we used to do in healing school was there'd be this, I guess you'd call it a quiz. It says, okay, get out a piece of paper, and I want you to write down as many healing scriptures as you can. You got 5 minutes. And so we were to write down the reference and some portion of the verse. So you got 5 minutes. And so I was able to write down that 5 minutes. I was able to write down 14 verses, 14 different healing scriptures. Because I'd been spending time in the Word. And so one day I was at work and I was thinking about these things and thinking about affirmations. And I thought, you know, I think during lunchtime I'm going to go out and take a walk and do some affirmations while I'm at work. So I did that. I went outside and I started walking. Well, as I started walking, all of a sudden pain and discomfort came. And the inclination was, oh, I better slow down. And I thought, no, why am I doing that? The evil one is trying to push on me, trying to have me do this. I said, no, I'm going to speed it up instead. So I started walking faster, doing my affirmation. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I've been healed by the stripes of Jesus. And it wasn't very long before I was in a jogging down the street, praying and affirming God's healing over my life. I said, you know, at that point in time, I felt like I was just face to face with the evil one and saying, give me your best shot because you can't kill me because I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. So don't contradict your prayers with your actions. See, if I had pulled back, so, whoa, maybe this wasn't such a good idea. See, that would have been contradicting my prayers with my actions. After praying that you have been healed from cancer, don't be disobedient to the doctor by not taking your chemotherapy. Let him tell you that you don't need that. So here's a sample prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. Now notice, remember we had the steps of praying. This is assuming you've already confessed your sins. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of Jesus for the challenge in my shoulder. I believe that Jesus died for my healing. Therefore, I am asking you, Father, that my shoulder be healed of all pain and stiffness. I thank you, Father, that my shoulder has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. That's then the affirmation, the affirming, the thanking God. And then you can keep doing that over and over again. We call that affirmations, affirming what God has done through Jesus Christ, affirming it verbally over and over and over again. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. In this case, my shoulder has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Thank you, Father, that my shoulder has been healed by the stripes of Jesus. You can thank him. You can just proclaim it over your life. But based on your action of faith, proclaim what Jesus has done for you by affirming it over and over again. So I hope this has been helpful to you about standing on the prayer of faith. How do you get your healing? Know what God has said. And that healing is for you. And that you can stand in faith based on what God's word has said and receive the healing that is yours. Believe that you receive when you pray, and you shall have them. You shall be healed in the name of Jesus. Amen.